recall that Fred said that he would start a series of sermons on the book of Psalms, and he started off with Psalm 1, and surprisingly enough, we're still in Psalm 1. We'll read that again this morning, but I understand Fred will focus this morning on verses 4 to 6, but I'll read with you the entire psalm. This is the word of God, which says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the day in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish."
Congregation, when we had our first sermon last week on Psalm 1, I told you that this psalm is an introduction to the whole book. It's about the way God deals with the two sorts of people the world is made up from, the righteous and the wicked. And just to remind you, we saw last week how a godly person looks. He is happy and content and feels blessed by the Lord. He is also careful not to lose what he has. And that's why he chooses his company very carefully. Further, he loves his Bible. Being in the scriptures and meditating on it is his delight. And then, he is stable and secure, like a tree planted by the water, his roots firmly in Jesus Christ. And finally, we saw he is prosperous. And that's not an outward thing, but it's showing the fruits of the Spirit whenever he meets trouble. That is how a godly person looks. And I pray that we all long to be a person like that. And now we come to our text for today. It starts with an almost startling statement, a kind of exclamation. Not so the wicked. Now, these are the blessings of the righteous, but not so the wicked. In other words, the wicked's life is totally different from the godly one. Why? Because the godly person is spiritual. He is guided by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to be guided by him in all he does, or she does. But the other one, the ungodly person, leans on his own understanding of things. And we'll see that will give a totally different outcome to his life. But the problem is now that from the outside, the difference is not always that obvious. And many people get confused here. For there are so many nice people around, easy to get along with. They're friendly, they are considerate, They are likable people, and they also live a decent life. They might even be rather religious and committed to what they believe in. And that makes it all the more confusing. So who are we to judge who is what? Who's wicked or who is godly? Now we have to be very careful in our assessment of people. I do not always know where someone is with the Lord in his life. Certainly not immediately, right from the start. Someone might be a true child of God who loves the Lord, but he is struggling to apply God's word in his life because he has so much baggage from his personal history that he doesn't have much to show. And from the outside, his life may look worse than the life of an ungodly person who seems to be in control of his life. So that's why we have to be very careful in our judgment. And often, it's best not to judge at all, but just treat everybody with the love of God. But having said that, the Bible should speak. And the Bible is very clear that there is a sharp difference between the godly and the ungodly. And as life goes on and you get to know people better, things will become clearer. Now, what makes a righteous person then so different from a wicked one? And here we come to the same point again. That's for us not so easy to see. But it's there, all right. It is the state of his heart. And the question is he truly regenerated by the Spirit of God? And does he allow the Holy Spirit to shape him? Or is he still living and acting in the flesh? Then his life will not bear the fruit that God is seeking. Now usually, you need a major crisis in your life in order to find out where you are really at. See, if you are in Christ, you can meet trials with joy. You can handle disappointments with patience, even persecution with endurance. That's totally different from an unspiritual person. If he is pushed, then the nice man suddenly starts retaliating. The man who seems so religious starts blaming people and sometimes even accusing God. So friends, there's something truly heartbreaking going on in the world of religion. You've got lots of people who know the Bible as the Word of God and yet do not know him personally. For they have never really humbled themselves to seek entrance into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. They may know a lot about him, but they do not know him. With their mind, they embrace the truth, but somehow they keep their hearts away from God. They are not free from self, and that hinders their love for God and for people. That was the whole problem of God's people all along, the problem of the Jews. All the prophets, including Jesus, pointed it out, said, you hear, but you never understand, because you have closed your hearts for me. Your life doesn't produce the fruits God is after, and therefore you are like chaff that the wind blows away. And the biggest problem is that people do not realize that about themselves. They think the world of themselves. They do well in their career. They have a good family life, and they see themselves as solid people who know their way through life. But God's opinion of them may be totally different. When it comes to the crunch, God may say, chaff, one blow, and they're gone. Now in the Bible, chaff is considered absolutely useless. Listen to what John the Baptist had to say. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, but burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Chaff has no substance. It has no weight. And that's why it's carried away by the wind. Well, an unregenerate man is like that. Whatever he has to offer to God is considered worthless because it's mere flesh. God can only be worshipped in spirit and truth. And in the flesh, you cannot please God. Even when you want to serve God, you can't do it. All you have to offer is some legalistic efforts. Attempts to please God with things that you think God looks for. And it's all no more than flesh. An example in case is the Apostle Paul. He was like that. Serving God all his life. Studying the word. Explaining the world. He was a Pharisee. And he was dead serious in what he did with it. But he didn't know God. And once Jesus met him personally, Paul came to repentance. And then he looks back to the first, let's say, 30, 40 years of his life, and he said, all that I considered so valuable and so great for the Lord, I consider it dung, or whatever kind of word like that he uses. Yeah? Useless stuff. Compared with gaining Jesus Christ. Now in any church you find a mixed bunch of people. Wheat and chaff, says the Bible, grow up together. And do you realize that often the chaff is blessed with the wheat? Not because they are chaff, but because they are connected to the wheat. Many people experience love and support and life guidance from God through people while they are in a church, but not, or not yet, in Christ. For if you're in the church, we accept you as a brother and sister with love. But don't make a mistake. It's not what the church thinks of you. God knows that the heart. And he knows where you're really at. So one day it will come out whether you are wheat or mere chaff. It may come soon. There may come a temptation in your life and you just give in because there's no inner strength in you. There's no Holy Spirit in you stopping you from sin. Or suddenly you are taken in by false teaching. If you don't have the Spirit to guide you, you lack discernment from between what is from God and what comes from a different source. Some people might be so deluded that all their life they can't see what's missing and nobody is able to tell them. And then they appear before God and they have nothing to show him. They suddenly realize that their whole life on earth has been a terrible waste. All the things they collected, all the places they visited, all that excitement they experienced in life. And yet, God looks at a heavenly account and it shows nothing. They haven't collected a treasure in heaven because they went for the medals on earth and wasted their life. Chaff blown away by the wind or gathered for the fire. And so the psalm continues, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Now no doubt the psalmist is thinking here about the great judgment day that we all have to face. And I remind you again that the wicked is not someone who is blatantly wicked. Also the people who had never to face an earthly court will have to appear before the Lord on judgment day. Now the funny thing is, or perhaps funny is not the right word. One day it will not be funny at all. But what I ask your attention for is that many ungodly people, when they hear about God's judgment, they are not worried for a sec. They smile about it and say, well, if there is something like that judgment, I'll be right. I never shortchange anyone in my life. I've nothing to hide apart from the little failures that are common to everybody. If there's a God who comes with a judgment, he has nothing to complain about me. I have done the right thing. And moreover, I believe that my God is a God of love. And he won't judge me for my failures. Do you hear how arrogant such statesmen are in the face of the Bible? It is a totally misplaced confidence. One day the books will be opened and questions will be asked, and questions like this, friend, have you truly repented? Were you born again? Did you really love the Lord Jesus? Did you spend your life as a living sacrifice? Or you went to church? Well, why did you never sit up and listen when God's word was explained to you in all its seriousness? And then you have no answer. Nothing to say. And that's what the psalmist means. Such a person cannot stand in the judgment. Now you may ask, well, if that's the case, who can then? Don't we all have our failures, our sins, our shortcomings, our battle with our own flesh, with our own pride, with our ambitions? How can we then stand on the day of judgment? Well, there's one way, friends, and that's the glorious gospel that we are preaching to you here. It's this: if you give away all your own efforts to please God and throw yourself at the mercy of his grace and commit yourself to Jesus Christ as your only Savior, then God will declare you righteous in his sight. Then judgment has passed you. And God will consider you to be just as innocent and righteous as his son Jesus. That's the gospel. And that's his promise. We find it over and over again in the New Testament. For those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Their sins have been forgiven, forgotten forever. See, that's the privilege of a truly godly man. He is covered with the righteousness of Christ, and he knows his salvation is secure, and he knows too, but this is only the beginning of my salvation. Now still my works will be scrutinized, and I better have a go at it in the power of the Spirit. See, God doesn't look for perfection in your life. He looks at your heart. He looks at the direction of your life. That is God's main interest in you. He is not interested in what you have achieved for him. That may be, from a human perspective, actually very little. Or you may have achieved a lot for the Lord, as you think, and as many people may see it. But God doesn't look at that. He wants to see your intention. The intention of your heart. How did you behave at work? How did you live in your family? How did you treat your neighbors? Were you always on the lookout for an opportunity for the gospel, that people may see and hear the good news about Jesus? Or were you too busy with your own life and your own ambitions? Well, that's the struggle of my life. If my life comes to the test, I've always to ask myself, how will God say it? Is it solid? Can it stand in the fire of purifying? Or will it be burned away like chaff? Chaff may look very good, but it has no substance. Friends, I hope that this is your struggle too. You ask yourself that question every day. If my life And what I strive for is that be brought, if that will be brought to the test, will it stand? Don't forget, no flesh will stand the test of fire. Only what's been spiritual will survive. Only the gems, the gold, and the silver. I'm not saying this to accuse you or to push you, but only warning you to use your life wisely while fully trusting in the Lord's promise. And this is the promise for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation. Now back to someone. Sinners will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. Now, when is that great assembly of the righteous? I believe that will be on the day when Jesus calls all his sheep together to become one huge flock. See, now, God's people are scattered all over the world. Here a few, there a few. And often they don't even know of each other's existence. And there are barriers of all sorts that keep them apart. Barriers of language and culture and distance. But one day, all God's people will be brought together. And they will all see each other. And they will all know each other in Christ. And they will all love each other in the Lord. And they will all bring praise to the Lamb. Then the church will unite. Chaff and wheat will finally be separated. What a day that will be. The assembly of the righteous. That is all Jesus' very own together. There will be no temptations anymore. No sin. No pain. No hatred. No fear. No SBS World News Tonight with more bomb blasts to announce. We will enter the joy of the new Jerusalem and meet him whom our heart longs for. Such an assembly of the righteous doesn't exist today yet. The sheep and the goats are held in the same pen. But on the day of judgment, Jesus will separate them from each other. So knowing that, we better do some serious self-examination. Where do I belong? Have I been made perfectly right with God through personal faith in Jesus? Have I given my own life and my ambitions away to commit myself only to him and his kingdom? Am I committed to crucify my flesh and be dead to sin? We'll finish up, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now read that carefully. It doesn't say, the Lord looks after the righteous, but the wicked will perish. It words it very carefully. And it speaks here about two ways. There's a way of the righteous and there's a way of the wicked. Now think of that. If I do something wrong, I sin. And that's a wicked thing to do. But that's not the same as walking in the way of the wicked. See, the way of the wicked, that is something habitual. It's the lifestyle of the wicked. A life in which God is not the very center. And that's wickedness. Full stop. Denial of God, God's right to your life, is pride. Habitual lack of compassion with those who suffer is lovelessness. God sees the ways of the wicked, and that way will perish. And the wicked who walk that way will perish with it. So that's frightening. So let's call as many people as we can back from the way of the wicked and tell them there's a way of the righteous as well. And that's the way that we follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Now finally says it, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And I find that a very, comforting statement. Because the righteous are not the perfect people. We all now and then fail miserably. But the point is, every time we fall into sin, we repent. And we come out with a renewed commitment not to fall into the same trap again. And God sees that with delight. And he supports you to stand up again and continue the way of the righteous. Because it's not what you have achieved for the Lord that counts in his eyes. What tells him is the direction you are taking. Someone who is righteous has a living relationship with the Lord. And for us in the New Testament, that someone who has received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, someone who has given away all his own righteousness and received Jesus' righteousness in return. So the ultimate question is, are you righteous in God's eyes? Have you received this righteousness? And do you feel secure in it? And again, I'm not asking whether you're perfect. Only, are you righteous in the sense of the Bible? There's only one way to have such righteousness: by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in him. And if you haven't received or experienced that the tremendous sense of freedom that it gives, I plead with you to go and ask for it today. And if you need further explanation of this point, just ask some personal assistance from me or one of the elders or someone who knows. But the main thing is always to go to the Lord himself and throw you at his mercy in recognizing your own sin and your inability to change your life. In other words, repent and believe and rejoice. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful word, and there's great encouragement there that you watch over the way of the righteous. But it's also a frightening word that we have to examine ourselves whether our life can stand the test of fire, whether it's useless chaff or profitable wheat for the Lord, whether we are building with solid elements in our life, rock and stone and precious materials, or whether we are only building with stuff that cannot stand the test of fire. Lord, help each and every one of us to think about these things so that we realize that we do need you to convict us of sin and to show us the righteousness in Christ. And Lord, grant us your Spirit so that we thankfully embrace the cross and enter into the new life, enter into your kingdom, and that we have this expectation in our heart that one day we will join the great assembly of the righteous. Oh Lord, we look forward to the day. And Lord, don't wait with it to come. Only wait so long that all your people that you have called from eternity have been brought in. And then the day will be there. And Lord, we trust you that the timing will be just right. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand up and sing a song now. Live for the Kingdom.